The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
All right. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fox Sports Knoxville, Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. We have no internet here in the Fan Run studios. We had internet when we came into the studio. Now we have no internet. And it's like we're instantly transported back to the pre-industrial revolution days. I feel like we're sitting in a teepee somewhere, sending out smoke signals right now. How did anybody do anything before the internet, Bear?
Before the internet?
Yeah.
Everybody kind of hung out together when you were...
Oh, that sounds terrible.
No.
Talking to people, connecting on an emotional, personal level.
Actually interacted.
That's for the birds. All right, we will have, I'm sure it'll come back soon, but evidently the stream is down for a minute. We'll have, the podcast will be complete, so I guess... We are hopping in Doc Brown's time machine and going back to 19. We're partying like it's 1998, man. There is no internet. There's no stream. If you're listening to The Drive right now at this very second, 3:04 on your Wednesday afternoon, you're listening to it on terrestrial radio, brother. Old school. Brandon, do you even remember those days?
Vaguely.
Vaguely?
I remember working at, I was at WKZX 93.5 doing an evening show, primetime sports from 6 until 8 or 7 to 9, I can't remember. And I remember, so this was 2005, and like the internet had been around obviously, but the streaming of internet shows was still in its infancy, like it's just becoming a thing, right? So I remember sitting in my office at the time listening to the Paul Feinbaum show back when his show was really edgy and cool and it was on in Alabama and it wasn't, you know, there was no SEC network, so it wasn't like it is today. I mean, it was much more, but I remember just thinking, wow, like this is incredible. And of course, like the station I was on didn't have that. Nobody had that in East Tennessee, I think, at the time, but you could stream it. And now I remember, like, and even a couple of years after that, I was at another station here in town, and like I was telling them, I was like guys, we have to have a website, because they didn't have a website and it wasn't streaming. I was like, listen, you have to do this. And like the old guys that ran the station were like, oh, you don't have to do that. We didn't have to have internet back in my day. I don't think I was on a station that streamed until we started The Drive in 2010. And by then, like, most people had been doing it for a long time. But We're in the back to the infancy of my career now. No stream, no hands, Ma. Look at me, I'm doing radio. Bear, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Russ.
You watched the play-in games last night?
No,
not at all.
None.
Brandon, do you watch any of the play-in games?
No, not really. I caught a little bit of the Belmont game, but
not fairly. Really. The first one was actually good. The first one was crazy,
really?
Man. Yeah. I tuned in the second half, and it was
– Prairie View was up. I kept up with it for
Prairie
a little
View
bit.
Was up 10. I was like, oh, man, this isn't very fun. But, like, as soon as I started watching, Fairleigh Dickinson goes on this crazy run, and it got tight, and then Fairleigh Dickinson went up, and then Prairie View came back, and then Fairleigh Dickinson came back, and, like, it was an exciting game, man. That was crazy stuff. So Fairleigh Dickinson wins, and then it's Belmont winning its first ever NCAA tournament game. How about that?
Ricky Bird.
So the other day we talked about, do these first four count?
No, as the tournament?
It counts. I mean, like some people will – I mean, in the record books it counts. Like it's – does the who's the SEC champion, the whoever wins the tournament or the regular season? No. In the books, it's the regular season.
Who cares? It's not the tournament.
Well, that I mean,
the tournament starts at 12:01 tomorrow, buddy.
You're entitled to your opinion, but the NCAA record books will show that Rick Byrd and Belmont have won an NCAA tournament game.
Well, me and 98% of the rest of the college basketball 98%. Fans in America are really hoping that Rick Byrd picks up his first NCAA tournament win tomorrow.
All right,
whenever they play.
Well, we're going to poll this. So your position is that 98% of college basketball fans do not consider the playing game a actual NCAA tournament game.
If they're honest with themselves, yes.
If they're honest with themselves, what does that mean?
Yeah, we deluded ourselves like I didn't, but I remember back when the Conzo run, you were leading the charge on the drive saying that it was a tournament, it counted as a tournament win. If it's your team that's in the playing game, you're saying it's a tournament win. Unless you're just, you know.
Yeah, I actually
have the cojones to stand up and say, no, it's not a tournament win. I don't care, even if it is the team I love the most.
I've changed my mind. Yeah, I used to feel that way, like the playing game, it's kind of stupid or whatever. And there used to be only one playing game. Remember that? For a couple of years, it was just like that was for the last seed. They would have that game in Dayton, and then they expanded it to four. And I think you made it. I mean, those teams won their – Prairie View won the SWAC tournament. Like, they got a bid. They got an NCAA tournament bid. Those were tournament games last night.
I feel like that's cheap, though. I feel like if you win your tournament, I feel like you shouldn't be in a play. Like if you win your conference tournament like they did, I feel like they should be guaranteed in the field of 64.
Okay, so but that's for the 16 seeds, right? Belmont did not win their conference tournament. That they were an at-large bid. They were an 11 seed, just like Tennessee was an at-large bid the Conzo year. So, you know,
that.
It's not like they. We're a 16 seed where, North Dakota State won their conference tournament, but do they really deserve to be there? No, they won. They punched their ticket just the way, you know, some schools that go on a run and win their Power 5 conference tournament punch their ticket. Oregon, for example. So I think they made it, and kudos to Rick Byrd. Did anybody see the article that a friend of the show, Joe Rex, wrote of the Tennessean – wrote yesterday about Rick Byrd almost taking the Tennessee job?
I did not.
When?
See that.
2011. He was runner-up to Conzo Martin for the job. And there's quotes in there from Mike Hamilton where he talks about vacillating, going back and forth. And like it almost sounds like it was a coin flip to give it to Conzo. Like Rick Byrd was really close to being the head coach here when Bruce Pearl was fired. That's what I thought too. I was speechless.
Interesting. He might be the one person that could have been able to follow Pearl here simply because of his ties to Knoxville and how beloved he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my thoughts were reading it. I was like, good, like, what was Mike Hamilton thinking? Like, I don't know if hiring Rick Byrd instead of Conzo Martin would have saved Mike Hamilton's job here as athletics director, but he certainly, I feel like it would have been a much better fit. Like fans would have, I think anybody who followed Bruce Pearl was going to have difficult shoes to fill. But I mean, Rick Byrd just being one of us, man, being East Tennessee through and through, was a walk-on in the Ernie and Bernie days, like steeped in Tennessee tradition, knows what it means to us. I don't know that he would have won any more than Conzo Martin did. I don't know that he would have won at the level that Rick Barnes has won at. But I do think he would have given us a program that fans would be proud of. I think we would be a 20-win team. I think we would be a perennial NCAA tournament team if Rick Byrd had taken the job. I think it would have been really interesting, you know, one of those what-if type things. I don't know that he would have been able to scale the mountain the way Rick Barnes has been, but I think people would have gotten on board the Rick Byrd bandwagon and enjoyed his time here. I say people. I say like the 75% of Tennessee fans who are just like good, solid college basketball fans. I'm not talking about the lunatic fringe who will never be happy with anything. Because there will always be people who are like, You know what the criticism – we all know what the criticisms of Rick Byrd would be if he were the basketball coach here at Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't recruit at a high enough level.
He's never been in a – he's never had a job where he could get in the high-level living room, so to speak.
Yeah, it would have been
– it would have been interesting to see.
Some of the same stuff.
I do see – I can understand it being a coin flip in some respects between him and Konzo. I mean, I think first and foremost, they were looking for somebody that was squeaky clean. Mm-hmm. Because Konzo at that time wasn't doing anything. I'm not accusing Konzo of – his recruiting seemed to pick way up when he went to Cal rather than, you know, when he was here. But, I mean, they wanted something completely different from Bruce Pearl, that's for sure.
It was just so weird, man, because we that year, Pearl's last year, we played Missouri State in – the NIT in a game here in Knoxville. Because I remember
Bruce's last year?
Yeah.
Bruce's last year was when we got housed by Michigan in the tournament, dude.
No, the preseason NIT where you play the first couple of rounds at home.
We played
Konzo
that year.
Yeah, he came to Knoxville in Thompson Bowling. Because I remember being at the press conference and Bruce Pearl was talking about all the teams that were in the NIT that we could possibly match up with. It was like before the season started. And he said, and there's Missouri State. And he goes, Quanzo Martin. Because that was back when nobody knew how to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
And I was like, that name sounds really familiar. Where do I remember that name?
Purdue.
And then, you know, he talked about him playing at Purdue. And then, so Konzo brings his Missouri State team here. I think Tennessee beat them, Pearl's last year. And I don't think if Konzo hadn't come here and Pearl hadn't bloviated over him and we hadn't learned his story and all that stuff, I don't think there's any way Mike Hamilton ever hires him. You talk about a simple twist of fate. I'll bet you anything that if Missouri State wasn't in the preseason NIT that year and he had never come here to play Tennessee in Knoxville, that Rick Byrd would be your basketball coach in 2011 and today.
Probably.
Talk about a simple twist of fate, man.
When they announced him, I knew exactly who it was. Because, I mean, I've told you before, I was in the arena when he came in here with
Big Dog.
Yeah, the Big Dog in the tournament. And Big Dog got blowed up, got gassed at one point. And that's when it's still the craziest, like, 9 seconds of basketball I've ever seen in Thompson Bowling Arena. And I think Konzo scored like something like 9 points in like 5 seconds. I mean, it was just totally insane.
That was a good team, that Purdue team, 1994. So anyway, interesting article. If you go back, check it out in the Tennessean from earlier this week. The great Joe Rexrode with a piece on Rick Byrd, who did notch his first NCAA tournament win last night over Temple. And boy, like, that Fran Dunphy is retiring too. So Fran Dunphy and Phil Martelli out in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly basketball will not be the same.
They showed Dunphy, like, it was one of the saddest things I'd ever seen, like him walking off the court after getting beat in the play-in game, like just like hunched over his last time, a 70-year-old man walking off the court. It was an interesting scene. So who do we got tonight? We got North Carolina Central versus North Dakota State.
Boring.
Directional schools. You say that, man. You tune in. Like, I'm telling you. I didn't sit there glued.
I'm not watching any basketball till tomorrow.
I know you're not watching. But for the folks who truly love college basketball, I flipped in. I didn't sit there and watch the entire game, but I flipped it on at about the 15-minute mark last night, that Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View game. And I watched the whole thing from that point on and was thoroughly entertained. And watched most of the Belmont-Temple game. I just had it on while I was doing some other things as well. So, I don't know. I watched the first game. I'll certainly watch some of Arizona State and St. John's. Should be interesting. But those games, it messes up with my Jeopardy time. Have you seen what's going on in Jeopardy right now? Did we talk about this yesterday?
No, literally the only thing that I've watched on television
is just Game of Thrones
for the past 2 weeks.
So you have no idea what else is going on in the world right now.
I have no idea what's going on in real life, sports.
And this is different from your normal state of being how? That was good. That was silly. That was funny. Brandon's grinning. He's chuckling quietly to himself.
Really, it's not your best. You've hit me harder than that. I mean, I feel like I'm usually a very well-informed co-host.
So Jeopardy right now, there's this woman named Lindsay. She's won like the past four or five games. She's really smart. But she is obnoxious. I'm telling you, go on watch
that. You hate her?
Oh, I hate her. Everybody hates her, man. Like, there's a strong anti-Lindsay sentiment out there on the interwebs. She holds the buzzer in both hands and violently taps it every time, like, she knows the answer, right? She's like she's got a jackhammer in her hands or something. And it's loud and
what's
obnoxious.
She look like?
I don't like a regular middle-aged white lady and brown hair. I don't know. But, like, it's distracting. It's ruining the game.
Is Trebek perturbed?
No, that's what's weird about it is, like, nobody says anything about it on the game, but you can tell the other contestants are really annoyed by her antics.
Feel like if it were me or you up there, would we have already said something?
I don't know. What's the proper etiquette in that? I feel like somebody
from
Jeopardy.
What are you doing?
I feel like one of the directors or producers of the show should be like, listen, lady. Settle down. One hand on the buzzer. Use your thumb. Just tap it a couple of times. Like,
which,
that's all you got to do. You don't have to
bang on it like that.
Violently, man. It's obnoxious.
Damn, I'm going to have to go and watch Jess. She's still going tonight?
Yeah. Nobody can beat her. She's a genius. It's not helping,
man.
There's
no way she's better than that dude.
Ken. Jennings? Yeah, but she's good enough to beat the dullards that they've been putting up there the past couple of nights.
I always wanted to get on Jeopardy. I thought I could win it.
Everybody thinks they can win it. You probably wouldn't. When you're sitting there in your living room and there's nothing to lose, you just call out the answers. Like, you don't call the ones you miss. Like, you don't, because you get three out of four right, but that fourth one cost you. You know.
I feel like I've kept track of it before. I used to be a big Jeopardy freak.
Should we organize a game, Jeopardy, between the three of us?
I think that we could probably organize a Jeopardy game for this summer. I think we ought to workshop it.
What's your strongest category? But what
potpourri.
Feel?
Oh, man. Stay with us. The drive continues. Get your Rocky Top Report coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. The Atlanta Tip-Off Club today announcing the finalists for the 2019 Warner Ladder Naismith Coach of the Year Award. Rick Barnes, among the four coaches who made the cut. So Grant Williams, one of the four finalists for the Naismith Player of the Year Award. Rick Barnes, one of the four finalists for the Naismith Coach of the Year Award.
When is this announced, Russ?
It will be announced at April 7th at the Final Four. And fans evidently can support their coach. I don't know if there's just a separate fan vote or if this actually matters, but if you go to naismithtrophy.com/vote, you can vote for the coach and maybe for the player too. So go check that out.
All fans listening to the sound of our voices should vote early and often.
naismithtrophy.com. Other finalists for the Coach of the Year Award are Chris Beard at Texas Tech, Tony Bennett at Virginia, and Kelvin Sampson at Houston. You know, I really feel like if the voting is done here in the next week or so, if any of those guys get bounced, I guess, this weekend, like, it would probably hurt them. I really feel like if Rick Barnes had won two more games, right? If he had beaten Auburn and won the regular season championship, and if he had beaten Auburn twice and we were regular season champions, tournament champions, I bet you he wins that thing. We'd be a one seed.
Either that, if you'd beaten LSU and beaten Auburn.
In the
SEC tournament.
Yeah. Like, we would have been – he would have been, what, 30-3, 31-3 or whatever, with two championships and a one seed. I bet he wins it if that's the case. He might win it anyway. I mean, Tony Bennett is probably going to be pretty strong. Kelvin Sampson as well.
Well, I'll say this. Tony Bennett won it last year.
Oh, he did?
They don't normally give it 2 years in a row.
So, that would make me think, at least, that they vote on it before the tournament starts.
There's no way they gave it to him because
they got
that's a good point.
By
that's
UMBC.
A good point.
Excellent.
That's a good point.
Excellent point, Graham.
So if it's all done now, Tony Bennett's pretty strong again. Kelvin Sampson. I mean, Chris Beard has been good, but
I think you got to give it to Weekend at Barnsley's.
He's got he's got a legitimate case. Number 22 baseball team back in the WinCom last night, 5-1 victors over East Tennessee State in front of a capacity crowd of 1,715 at Thomas Stadium in Johnson City. Next up for the Big Orange, welcome South Carolina for a 3-game series at Lindsey Nelson this weekend.
All right, see, I'm at the point now where it's tough love, Tom, with Tommy Vitolo. He's got to he's got to start winning some SEC games for him to buy in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
beating up on the Little Sisters of Poor every Tuesday and Wednesday night. Ain't cutting it for me, Russ.
But at least he's doing that, man. Because, I mean, we've had some coaches here lately who couldn't even do that, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
So that is your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. If you are looking to move this year, call Bo Kregner at the Kregner Group and set up a free consultation. He'll come over to your house and tell you exactly what you need to do before you list your home so that you can get it sold quickly and move on to your new home. It's quick, it's easy, and best of all, it is free. That's right. The consultation doesn't cost a dime. So what are you waiting for? Call the Kregner Group today at 865-742-1035. That's 742-1035. Or just go online to BoKnowsHouses.com. BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. List it, sell it, and move on. We're going to talk to Grant Ramey from GoVols 247 here in just a second. Cool. Bear, I found...
What'd you got?
A list of Jeopardy potpourri questions.
All right.
You want me to pepper you and Brandon?
Hit me.
Just the two of you?
Let's go.
Give me your verbal buzzer.
Bang.
Beep.
Okay. Here we go.
Hit it.
In 2017, New Jersey eliminated the cash type of this for most defendants. Bear.
Bail. What is bail?
Yeah, please form your answers in the... question. Correct. Well done, Bear. It was Ford's second big seller starting with the 1928 model year. Bear.
What is a Model T?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
No,
you can't. You only answer twice. You don't know the rules of Jeopardy. Brandon?
What is the Model A?
Correct.
Ah.
Point to Brandon. The Catholic revival that began in the mid-1500s is also called the Counter This. Bear.
What is the Inquisition?
Incorrect.
What?
I said incorrect.
Oh, you're full of crap, dude.
Brandon, no, of course it is the Counter Reformation. All right, one more, then we got to get Grant Ramey in here. Oh, I can't say that one. No, I think I can. It's a little insensitive, but this 7-word Seinfeld catchphrase follows the phrase, "We're not gay." Really? Yes?
What is, not that there's anything wrong with
that? Oh, Brandon wins first round of Jeopardy potpourri, 2-1 over the Bear.
We'll play it again before we leave today.
We'll circle back and revisit this, a very competitive situation. Do we have internet yet?
Currently, no.
Oh, we made it half an hour without internet. I feel like we deserve a raise just for powering through this. How did I read those questions, you ask? On my phone, going 3G or 4G, whatever we're up to now. What are we on, 5G?
4G.
4G still? Okay. Stay with us, Grant Ramey, talking Vols Hoops, coming up next right here on The Drive. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com. All right, back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio. Grant Ramey covers the Vols for GoVols247. He joins us now on the show. Hello, Grant.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Doing well. So how are you, sir?
I'm surviving.
That wasn't very convincing. I mean, are you all right?
No, it's just to the point of the season where it's already been a grind, and now it's just the grind really starts. And I need a nap, but no, we're good.
So what you're grinding for 3 days in Nashville, 3 games in 3 days. It's a grind on the players. It's a grind on the reporter. You come back, you got a press conference to cover the next day. I guess you might have had some downtime tomorrow or yesterday, and now you've got to gear up and get to Columbus and start covering games again.
Yeah, moral of the story is I get paid to watch sports, and I need everybody to feel sorry for me all at once.
You've got it rough. You've got it rough. I'm sitting here trying to do an radio show right now with no internet, and I feel like it's out on the Oregon Trail right now. I have no idea what's going on. Just sitting here in this room with no windows and no internet access. I mean, we might as well be living in the 17th century. Grant, thoughts on where this Tennessee team is heading into the NCAA tournament?
I think they're still in a good place. Sunday being what Sunday was, I went into that game, honestly, I couldn't have been any more shocked at the way they played. Honestly, with as excited as Tennessee fans were and as much of a home game as that was at Bridgestone Arena after they did what they did against Kentucky, I thought the game would play out opposite of the way it played out. I thought Tennessee would get ahead early and play well in that atmosphere. They got behind early, and they played absolutely awful, worst half of basketball they've played all season. I think we should have given Auburn a little bit more credit heading into that game. They're playing the best basketball they've played all season right now. They got talent. They can make shots, obviously. They live and die by the three ball, and right now they're living well by it. But I still think Tennessee's in a good place. They played really good basketball against Kentucky. What they did in the final 3 minutes of that game was some of the best stuff they've done all season. I thought they had some good stretches in the second half against Mississippi State. They played better. They got by without Grant Williams in the second half of that game and expanded their lead. So I think they're in a good place. They've taken care of business for the most part this season against teams they should beat. And I think you should see more of that this weekend in Columbus.
I know a lot of fans feeling the way you did about just being shocked at the way things turned out Sunday. I know I was, and you know, I've been following the program for well over 30 years now, intimately familiar with SEC tournament disasters of years past. But again, after that Kentucky game, Grant, I was taking mental measurements for the tournament championship banner, and to see them come out and not perform, I think you raise an excellent point about giving Auburn credit, because people forget, you know, after they kind of had a rough start to the year before the season, that was the team that everybody had circled on their calendar, even more so than Kentucky or LSU, as being Tennessee's primary competition for the regular season championship. So, I mean, are we not giving Auburn the credit they're due?
I don't think so. I think another thing, like you were talking about the mental measurements for a banner, everybody was talking about when Tennessee and Kentucky meet in the semifinal, especially after LSU got beat on Friday, everybody's talking about, well, this is their real championship game. Whatever happens Sunday, Tennessee, Kentucky in the semifinals, that's the actual kind of SEC tournament title game. And I mean, these kids are human. They hear the noise. They know what everybody's talking about, obviously, because they stay connected. It's hard to not be connected unless you're on the radio with no internet in a windowless room. But they hear the stuff and they know what's going on. It would be hard for them not to think the way other people think, that beating Kentucky was really what they needed to do. And they did that. And it was almost like it took the wind out of their sails for Sunday, or they didn't reset their focus. They didn't handle the emotions, whatever. But it wasn't there. And the way Auburn plays, what Tennessee's weaknesses are, defending the three is not their best, their strong suit by any means. And the way that Auburn jumped in the passing lanes and fronted Grant Williams and didn't let those injury passes happen, that's how Tennessee gets hurt, and it burned them bad on Sunday.
What a roller coaster of emotions it was to win Saturday, and you were there. What, compare and contrast, if you will, for us the mood in the locker room after the game Saturday versus after the game Sunday. I'd imagine those were polar opposites.
Yeah, and this team does a good job of handling itself. you know, basically through any situation. Saturday night, yeah, that was a good locker room to be in, or a fun locker room, I guess, to be in, just based on the atmosphere. There are a lot of people in there having a good time. A lot of guys, it makes your job a lot easier when they're in a good mood and wanting to talk about a win like that. On Sunday, it was quiet. The one thing about Sunday in that atmosphere, you got beat. Yeah, it was in a pretty bad way. You did not look good in a national spotlight, but at the same time, the game wraps up at 2:30, 3 o'clock, whatever it was, 3:30, and by 6 o'clock, the bracket's out. You're moving on to what's next. So, it was quiet. It was down. I think they were all disappointed with themselves and their performance from top to bottom, but at the same time, you move on. You're still a number two seed in the NCAA tournament for only the third time in the history of the program. You still had you could still, you know, match the best record in program history, all this stuff. So I think they're disappointed that they came a game short of the SEC tournament title and the regular season title, and Auburn is the reason for that. But at the same time, you have to keep moving forward and focus on what really matters in this advancing in the NCAA tournament.
Grant Ramey with us. Go Vols 247, and Tennessee is a two seed in the South region. And Grant, the Vols kind of a trendy pick. If you look at some of the national experts and prognosticators, a lot of people penciling Tennessee in for a trip to Minneapolis. What are your thoughts on Tennessee's draw and prospects for the tournament this year?
Honestly, the longer the season went on and the more Tennessee flirted with the number one seed, I thought Tennessee's going to be the most trendy pick in America to be upset in the second round. By an 8-9 team, or even if they do land as a number two seed, I thought they'd be a trendy upset pick in like a 7-10 game. In terms of their draw, Colgate, they're a 15 seed for a reason. You need to handle your business in that game and move on. If they do get Cincinnati, Cincinnati's shown they can be a pretty tough team. They handled Houston, I believe, on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, and they've won some games this year. But I thought it was a pretty good draw. I think they're a trendy pick because I think people think respect Tennessee and think Tennessee's a good team. I also think people don't really trust Virginia to get to the Final Four because of what Virginia's done in the past. I think the last five times they were the number one seed, they did not advance to the Final Four. So, I mean, look at it. If they play Villanova or Purdue, if they get to Louisville in the Sweet 16, they play probably Villanova or Purdue. Those are tough matchups, but games you should win. If that happens, if you do get to the Elite Eight, you're probably looking at Virginia, and I think that's the team they can play with. So I think that's kind of the factors that go into so many people. I mean, I'm really shocked at how many people have them penciled in for the Final Four in their brackets.
Yeah, really. And talking to Rick Barnes both after the Kentucky game and then again, Monday, what do you think he feels like are the keys towards Tennessee making a run?
Sticking to what got them here. I mean, they've dominated people at times this year. They've really taken care of business in the games where they should win basketball games. And this is a completely different team than last season. I think everybody wants to look back at last year, and you're a number three seed. It seems like things are really going well, and then you run into Loyola Chicago. I think this team's different, obviously, because it's a lot better offensively. It was better earlier in the year offensively. They didn't have the strongest finish on that end of the floor towards the end of the season, but they can score points with just about anybody, and they can survive on the offensive end if they're not doing what they want on the defensive end. So I think he just wants this team to keep doing what it's done and keep being itself. Don't kind of lose sight of that. Don't get lost in the stress and, you know, the do-or-die mindset of the NCAA tournament, and just relax and play basketball.
Last thing for you, Grant. We'll get you out of here. Grant Williams. I'm seeing a lot of different projections for him in some of these NBA mock drafts. As it stands today, what do you think about Grant Williams? Will he be back in Orange next year or off to the pros?
Honestly, I wish I knew. I wish I had one way to lean or another. The interesting thing here is not only – my son's trying to get on the radio. Shut out.
He made it. He made it. Let him know. He made it.
He's walking around the house calling for dad.
There you go.
The interesting thing is he's really close with Josiah James. I think one of the reasons Josiah picked Tennessee was because of how close his relationship is with Grant Williams. And Grant has said some stuff in the past on the record, I believe, that, you know, the NBA will be there in another year. The NBA is not going anywhere. If he comes back to Tennessee, he's not, you know, giving up that dream of playing in the NBA. And I think there is a sense of unfinished business for him if they don't do what they want to do in this NCAA tournament. So those are two things to factor in. What has he got left to prove? Only Bernard King's been a three-time SEC Player of the Year, and obviously Grant has a chance to do that. That's extremely special. He's already an All-American. He's already done that. It's just a factor of kind of what kind of legacy does he want to leave. Obviously, he's leaving a huge legacy as it is. If he came back, it would be even bigger because he would take Tennessee, obviously, to a, such a different level if you look at that roster next season. I think Jordan Bone's another interesting case because of Josiah James. I don't know what his projections are right now, but it's hard to imagine his stock is going to be any higher a year from today because he's played so well all season. And you would think, based on the talent that Josiah has, that he would come in and get his share of minutes at point guard. And they recruited him as a point guard. I know everybody says he's a combo guard and he can play off the ball and do different stuff, but he wants to play point guard, and obviously Tennessee's got a really good one there right now.
All right. Well, interesting stuff for sure. Grant, appreciate your time. Safe travels up I-75 towards Columbus this weekend, and enjoy the tournament.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you too. Grant Ramey, GoVols247, at Grant Ramey on Twitter. Excellent appearance on the show today. Bear, what did you learn?
Grant's going to Columbus.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all?
Yeah.
That's what you learned?
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't know? One of the preeminent beat writers on the Tennessee basketball beat was going to Columbus beforehand. No. Surely you were listening to something, he said.
Yeah.
Nothing, huh?
I have a problem with recall. Short term.
The Bone stuff is interesting. I don't see any way he – I mean, I think Grant is the only one we really got to worry about. I understand that Josiah James is going to play some point guard. And that's interesting that Grant Ramey says that about him, because I'm guessing that, you know, that's what the coaches who are recruiting are telling us. Like, look, Josiah's coming in here to play point guard next year. But don't you think Bone can play off the ball a little bit as well?
Yeah.
That might be good for him because, you know, we haven't seen him get a chance to really shine in that regard because he's always played point guard. I think he could – he's a guy, and we've talked about this before, that could score a lot more if he didn't have the quote-unquote point guard responsibilities.
You think? Pro potential? Off the ball?
No, not pro. I'm talking like I think he could be really good off the ball for us next year if, you know, Josiah James is playing point guard minutes.
Oh, sure. Sure, I agree with that.
Stay with us. The drive continues.
The only thing that I worry about in that is maybe some. I'm talking more about the stretch where we were wearing everybody out, the 19-game win streak. I mean, he was dealing out a lot of assists.
Yeah, he was.
And that's the only thing that
trust a freshman to come in and do that.
I don't know if you'd get the same. I mean, because he's a big facilitator. I don't know if you can. I don't know if Josiah James is going to come in and give you that same level.
Team first, I'm a disher, you know, run the offense.
That's the only thing that I would worry about.
Floor general. Me too.
I mean, I think Josiah, I mean, that's his reputation is as a creator first.
Is it?
Point guard.
I haven't. I don't really. The only thing I follow less than football recruiting is basketball recruiting.
No, I mean, he's an interesting player, man. It's hard to describe, to be as big as he is. And, like, he can score, but he likes to pass the ball and can run the show. And I think having two guys – listen, what was our downfall – one of the major downfalls Saturday? Turnovers.
Yeah.
It would stand to reason that having two point guards, or really even three, if you include Lamonte Turner as kind of a combo – on the floor at the same
time. That's kind of what we had last year.
that would help us out a lot.
With James Daniel being gone.
Yeah, so I think that Barnes will figure out a way to get – if Bone comes back, I don't think we're going to waste Bone or Josiah James for an entire year. I think he'll figure out a way to get both those guys upwards of 30 minutes a game to show what they can do.
Don't you kind of feel like if – Bone comes back next year, it'd kind of be his team, depending on whether or not Grant comes back. But I really think Grant's probably, you know, if he has a good tournament, will probably leave.
No, I mean, that's a good point, too. It's like Bone could, he could kind of be the guy if Grant does leave, one of the major leaders. I mean, we're just going to have a plethora of guards next year. I mean, we're going to have four really elite guards on that roster.
As Philly says, we need a big. We need a big.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I think you got to wait and see what DJ Burns is. We don't really know.
I'm kind of penciling him. If Grant leaves, I'm kind of penciling him into that spot.
Did either of you guys see the mock that had Golden State taking Admiral in the first round? Right at the end of the first round?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would pretty much be the last or next to last pick.
God, what? I mean, that would almost be too good to be true for Admiral, wouldn't it?
I hope he doesn't go there.
Why?
Because I don't want to have to pull against him. I hate Golden State.
You're not pulling against Admiral Schofield. You're not.
I mean, can you pull for the team and not the player, or the player and not the team?
I did it with Cordero Patterson with the Patriots this year.
See, I even found it hard to do that.
I mean, I'm not saying it was easy, but I mean, Patterson still got that infectious smile and that incredible ability. I just pretend like he's still wearing orange.
Let's take a quick time out. We'll be at Elkmont Exchange tomorrow for tip-off of the NCAA tournament proper. Trey and his gang will be doing their show from 1 to 3, the drive from 3 to 6. So we'll be down there for a full 5 hours. And, of course, we'll be down there all day on Friday, as we will have It's Optional Live. No drive on Friday because the Tennessee game will be going on at the same time. So we're going to have a watch party down there. You come out. We filled this place up last year, man. It's a lot of fun. You need to come out here and see us both days. Just blow off work. Come out, watch games at Elkmont Exchange on Broadway with us tomorrow and Friday.
What game was it that we were watching down there while we all went crazy? It was the drive. Was that the Virginia game?
Well, one of them, it was Loyola Chicago beating Miami.
Yeah, I remember watching that one down there.
And thinking,
I just remember there was one point we were all yelling.
Yes, we're getting the 11 seed now
instead of the 5.
And we thought that was development. Little did we know. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Your phone call's coming up. Let's get Roger in here. Roger, you're on the drive. Fan Run Radio. What up, Rog?
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing well. Great. Doing well. Thanks.
Good. Hey, I just want to ask y'all about, I know you're talking about the basketball. I just want to ask you about football for a minute. I just want to ask you about YouTube football. I know it's off right now, but I just want to ask you so far, but Rush from Bear, from what you have heard, so far Pruitt has been positive about the team so far. I just want to ask you what's your thoughts so far about what you have heard so far.
It's interesting, Raj, because he's a lot more specific and a lot more positive this year than he was last year. This time last year, he wouldn't talk about any player specifically, and it was all we're just trying to set the tone and everything. Like, I was reading a piece today about, he's raving about Aubrey Solomon and he's doing everything right. And he said really nice things about Garantano and all this stuff. So I like it. It's good to hear that he's seemingly pleased, but I don't, I wonder if he's trying to build his team up a little bit after, you went 4-8 and 5-7 back-to-back years. You got to wonder if this team's psyche is just beat up a little bit at this point.
You think Pruitt and the team is having a year on the belt, no one knows. You think it helps so far?
Yeah, I think that especially on defense, because the entire system remains the same and everything. There'd be some subtle changes on offense, I think, with Jim Chaney coming in. But I do think, just guys being accustomed to some of the same voices, the strength coach being the same for the second year for the first time in like 5 years, I think is probably maybe one of the biggest positives for the development of the program. But yeah, I think anytime you have continuity in a program that has lacked that for a lot of the past 10 years, that should be helpful. Raj, thanks, man. We are out of time this hour. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Fan Run Radio, your top four at four next.